Well, I've got to bring all your minds back from Tammy and whatever she went through and the urinals in the bathroom, okay? Not an easy job today, but Jeff has prayed that our hearts and minds would be open to what we have to learn, and I'm just hoping for that too. Now, that's what I call a pulpit to work from. This is my workbench that I do some work from. I've asked Tina if I could borrow something to kind of make it look prettier. How's that look? All right. Let me just read this portion to you. I want to make some comments on it. And as I was reading this portion, thinking through about exactly what's going on, God just took my heart to a different place that we're going to go to of really what I believe He wants us to hear today. But I'm going to read this passage and comment on it, and then we're going to go to a different place from here, but I believe it fits in with the Scripture. And I'm going to start from verse 13, learning about paying taxes to Caesar. It's very apropos that I just had my taxes done, and I'm getting some money back this year, so that's good. A lot of times I'm ungrateful to pay my taxes because we pay a lot, but God was speaking to me, and I'm rejoicing. It's good stuff. Let me read this to you. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." Well, you talk about trying to be schmaltzy to them here. "Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Actually, when you read the account of Matthew, he calls them, "You hypocrites." So Mark just adds that he saw their hypocrisy, but he called them that actually. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him. Now, if you've been just listening the last few weeks, we've been doing this journey after the triumphal entry of Jesus. And it's been a week now that as we're working through to the crucifixion, that the scribes, Pharisees, chiefs, chief elders, those who teach the law, and now they added in the Herodians, are just bombarding Jesus with questions to prove he isn't who he is. And it's just unbelievable. Herodians were actually Jewish people who really wanted to see Rome have a lot of control. Basically, they were trying to suck up to Herod and make it look good for the Jews. And they were really despised by the Pharisees, and next week we're going to look at the Sadducees. They hated each other, but they had one common goal, and it was kind of almost like this. It was almost like, and take this in the context, it was almost like the Republicans and the Democrats getting together to try to oust an independent because they didn't like where it was going, and that's the scene that we have here. They hated Jesus, and he's able to answer them every time and put him down, and they were just amazed. And my heart was saying, you know what, guys, why don't you get it? Jesus is unbelievable, but they couldn't. And as I'm thinking through this, and we could teach a lot about the government and what God wants us to do here. Romans 13 talks a lot about this, that we need to understand that God oversees all government, and we need to be under that. We have an obligation to follow the government because God has set them there to keep the peace. And I know we've had nations that have been evil, but God's going to take care of them. And they're important things for us to know as Christians. We should be great citizens. But God wasn't putting that on my heart as I started to think about this. What was really impressed upon me is how Jesus could answer these people every time so wonderful, so perfect, so accurately, even with his overturning the tables in his anger. He knew how to do it every time. And I thought to myself, wow, Jesus, Could I ever come to the point where I learn how to do that just like you? Now, it really amazed me when I heard that the Beth Moore ministry that the women are doing on Monday nights and Thursday mornings, they were just going through this whole teaching of the tongue and how we are to be able to speak in a way that really edifies God and each other's. That's where my heart was going, and I want to teach you on that a little bit this morning, that we could grow and learn how to answer and respond like Jesus responds. That slide is wrong. It was supposed to be responding like Jesus. So just don't worry about generous followers. We missed that. We thought that would be taken care of, but it wasn't. So here's what I want you to do, and I've asked, you guys don't know this, Andrew and Dom, and where's Jeff? Are they here? Will they cut out? Jeff? Andrew, Dom? I want you to go over and stand over there. I'm going to use them as an illustration. These guys are so willing to do this. I want to try to give you a picture of how God wants us to deal in life and learn how to respond the way He wants us to. And in light of what we're doing here at Hope in our leadership, we are trying to really come up with a vision of where we're going as a church. And we're coming up with, we're a church of prayer. We're a church that we really want to just minister to this community. We want to be able to grow in our love for God and our love for each other and our love for those who don't know God. And our speech, the way we respond in word, is so critical to this journey that we're taking together. And I want to just use this as an illustration. And guys, they don't know this is happening yet. I'm going to dictate this. I want you to put your arms around each other, okay? Stand close to each other, put your arms around each other, okay? And as you walk, I want you to walk towards me. Not yet. I'm just giving you instructions. As you walk towards me, I want you to pretend you're talking to each other. You're looking at each other. Dom, you got to look back and forth, okay? And then as you're talking, start to smile, start to laugh, and then even as you get closer, one of you start to cry. Andrew, you start to cry, and you guys console him, okay? So you got that? You're going to talk with your mouth going. You're going to smile, laugh, and Andrew's even going to cry as you're walking, okay? Ready, and action! All right, good. Let's give him a hand. Just an illustration for you to picture that we're doing this together. And, you know, you think of some of the scriptures. The scripture says this, can two or three walk together unless they be in agreement? See, if they started arguing, they might start having trouble walking. Or the verse that says, how blessed it is for brothers to grow in unity. You know, I was thinking too, the Savokas, they ought to just adopt Jeff and make him a third son. Okay, we'll just push the adoption thing. A fourth son. That's right. Sorry about that. Sorry, Matt. Again, I think of the whole idea of learning to rejoice and laugh when someone else laughs, or learning to mourn with those who mourn. That's what God wants us to do as we journey together and learn how to speak to each other. It is vital. And I'm going to share some verses that I think are so powerful in a few minutes. But if we cannot grow in how we learn to love each other and how we speak to each other, it's all going to be a waste of time. It's all going to be wood, hay, and stubble, because we're not going to accomplish what God wants us to do. And I started thinking about, you know, how we respond, how we speak. It's incredible. And I've just been observing my grandson. He's 2 years old. And he already has learned three or four different ways to translate the word no. It's unbelievable. 2 years old. He has his silent no. Some of you don't like to speak, but you still communicate. He has a silent no when it's like this. Maddie, it's time to go to bed. He learns that. Or he learns the short staccato no. Maddie, don't do that. No. Just the other week, we heard a new no. Loane, my mom, was on the phone talking to my daughter-in-law, and Jenny says to Loane, Jenny says to Maddie, he's in the other room, Maddie, my mom's on the phone. You want to talk to her? No! That was right after his nap. So we kind of excused it. But here's a little guy, 2 years old, who taught him all those different forms of no? It's what's in our heart. And we have got to learn to respond and speak like Jesus wants us to speak. He was a master at it. You know, the scripture says this, which just blows me away. Jesus only spoke the words that the Father wanted him to speak. Can you imagine that? When I think of the words that I speak, I have thousands of words that the Father doesn't want me to speak. Jesus only spoke words that pleased the Father. Incredible. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you some illustrations of kind of what we're like. And somehow I need to get up here without knocking stuff down. Oh, I made it. I'll put this here. We all live in different arenas when it comes to speaking and speaking to people. I would say this, 95% of what we communicate to people is through our words. Very important that we learn to speak kindly, things that are right, things that are good. Ephesians 4:29 says this, don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth except what is to the building up. We want to build people up. So I thought, well, I'm a builder. Let me show some examples of what they may look like. So I've got some examples here of how to build things. And we can build things by using nails and sticking wood together. And it's a way for us to bring things together and to hold, just like our words. So what I thought I'd do is I'd show you an example of here's a couple pieces of wood. I'm going to try to make a cross, and I'm going to use this nail. Okay? And I got a 3-pound mallet here that is used just for this nail. So I'm going to try to put this together. Oh, man. Look, I split it. That didn't work. Do we have big messages to say sometimes and we try to pound it home? I think so. Look, I have another nail. These are called brads. Can you see it? It's 3/4 of an inch long. Those of you who are going to get the tape, I'm holding up a tiny little nail that they can't even see. And I'm going to try to put this wood together. Jerry, I was wondering if you'd come up and help me hold this nail for me. All right, let's put this over here. You can hop up there. You got that nail? Hold that there. We're going to try to make another cross with this wood. Okay, and I'm going to use another type of hammer. All right? You got it? He does trust me. I was hoping he wouldn't. Okay? Now, I'm tangled up here. If I would be a person, thanks, Jerry, give him a hand. See, in our speech sometimes, we try to drive a point home that this small, this way. What's going to happen to that? And what I believe we want to do in our walk together as a church is we want to be growing in our ability to become skillful in how we use our words to each other. You see, what they've done is they've taken a little brad and they make a little brad pusher. Got a little hole in the front. I pushed it down there. And all I can do is just push that down and look at that. Isn't that nice? I've learned how to use little nails in a nice way. You can do that too. Now, I have another nail. This is my favorite. It has power. Tim the toolman would say, arr, 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 arr. So what I can do, I can take a little wood, try to make something nice here. I don't know if this is going to be too loud, but be prepared. And I can just put that together like that. And look at that. Isn't that nice? God wants me to understand, when I use power, His power, I can speak words that really do build each other up. Now, I'm going to come back down off of the platform here. This story, as I read, and I've told you before, I'm a visionary. I need to see things. I began to read this, and I kind of pictured myself in the story. And I was there, Jeff, when you talked about the turning over the tables. And I saw that Jesus saw me. I was standing over to the side. And then the fig tree incidents. I watched how it withered. And then how he dealt with the lawgivers and the question about John the Baptist and how he answered that. And then I'm thinking through here with the taxes, and I'm just amazed at how Jesus could respond so wonderfully, so correctly every time. And here he's on his way very shortly to be crucified. And I said to myself, oh Lord, if I could learn to respond the way you respond. And when I thought that, I saw him do this in my vision. He said, come to me. You're weary, heavy burden, come to me. And I said this, Lord, could I ever learn to speak the way you do to people so that I could build their lives up? What do you think Jesus said to me when I asked him that question? Yes. Why do you say that? Say it loud. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, what else? Ask and it shall be given. Is that something that Jesus wants me to be able to do? To speak words of kindness? Here's what he said to me when I said that. Absolutely. Jesus would respond yes. And here's what he says. Let me just give a few of verses throughout the scripture. It says this in Proverbs 15. Learn to answer gently, and you'll turn away wrath. But if you speak harshly, you'll stir up anger. A tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of a fool gushes folly. Here's something else he wants us to know. A man of perverse heart does not prosper. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble. A fool's lips brings him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do we believe that? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That means if I love life, I'll eat the fruit of that because I'll speak life. Or if I love evil, that's what I'll speak, and I'll have that fruit. We've got to believe that in our journey together. The way we speak to each other will be powerful as a church body. Jesus wants us to know that. Here are some other verses. The tongue of the wise brings health. Do we want to bring health to everyone? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Now, what he means here is, and this is where, you know, this one spoke to me. There's so many times I think I got to be harsh when I want to get a point across or I get angry. Jesus is saying we can even break bones with gentle words if they're words of truth. Remember that portion in Hebrews? The word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing even to the bone and marrow. We don't have to be angry with people to get our way. We can believe by speaking words that build up, that God can bless. Powerful verses for us to learn. Listen to this one. This is dealing with our worship time. Guard your steps when you go into the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven. You are on earth. So let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so a speech of a fool when there are many words. And I started to think about this. Chick, where do you fit in this? And God really began to really point out some things in my life. You see, when I'm around other people who aren't my family, I tend to lean on this side. See, there's two places that we live in or we camp out when it comes to our speech. Either I'm shy, I don't say much, no, I'm not going to say much here. Even if we're offended, I'm not going to say nothing. And I live on that when I deal with other people. Then there's the kind who just never shut up over here. Yeah, 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 yeah. I can be that way at home. I remember, and I already talked to Steve on this, I remember when Steve was growing up. See, at home, I can be a lecturer, and I have many words. And I would kind of try to discipline him and teach him. And here's what he would do after a while. Okay, 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 okay. And I'd keep going. Yeah, 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 yeah. And finally, he'd tune me out. And I'm still learning how to do that better. But I want to. I'm learning over here how to speak better into people's lives than to be quiet or not say nothing. And I don't know where you're at. You either are camping on one side or the other, or maybe a little in both. But God wants us to get to the point where when we can speak life and kindness, even if it's correction, which the church must do. But we must do it God's way. And this is the powerful lesson that God really just wanted to teach me as I thought through this. What does God want us to learn as we're following Him? To learn to respond to each other in the way He wants us to do. So that when we go forward in all the different things that we want to do, work in the community here, work in our small groups, women's ministry, men's ministry, we want to do it in a way that always, always builds up. And here's what I want to do as we close with this. And I don't know where your heart is. I want to give you two things that I want you to understand if you want to begin to head that way as a church. Two things that will help you begin to get on your way. First of all, you need to see it as a need. I need to see it as a need. Lord, I need you. You need to be the power source that helps me to speak things in a way that will glorify you. You and I need to know that, because if we don't even see it's a need, we'll just carry out every day in oblivion. Just say what we want. Not only do we need to see it's a need in our lives, we need to have it as a desire. And I say this to even you young people as you're growing up and soon you'll be married, or young married people. These are great tools that you and I can learn how we respond to each other, how we speak to each other, because we're living in a world that tears each other down with our words. And God's intention is never that. His intention is that when I speak to Steve, I build him up. Even if I don't agree with some of the things, I'm building him up because I care about him and I want to see him grow closer to God. And he responds back to me the same way. When we as a church begin to practice that, and then we come and have differences, or we're not sure about different ways to go. We can work it out through the Holy Spirit, because a harsh word stirs up anger and a gentle word turns away wrath. You all know those verses. What we must do is see that we need Jesus' help, and then second, have a desire to really begin to get better at how we speak to each other. And Jesus will help us. It is absolutely His will that we can speak to people in a way that honors God. Let's pray.